Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome, everybody. Come on in. It is redacted on this Taco Tuesday night. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the show where you might get a little uncomfortable because we cover the stories the mainstream media won't cover. And we've got a bunch of stories we're going to cover for you tonight that you probably won't see in the mainstream media. A number of progressive Democrats calling for peace in a way, and it looks like, wow, we could actually see some peace movement coming out of Washington, D.C. But then hold on, we'll give you the update, the crazy update this afternoon, not so fast, and it proves once again that they're all of them are totally full of garbage. So we'll talk to you about that story.
That's right. We're giving you the update also about the war in Ukraine and how it continues to escalate. It feels like every night we sit here and we say, wow, things are ramped up. We mean it. Because they continue to ramp up.
Yeah, there's been attacks just a few minutes ago, air raid sirens. So we'll bring you the latest on that. Plus Al-Qaeda infiltration into Ukraine. More details on that from an Iraqi newspaper this afternoon. So a lot of details unfolding as it relates to war and peace talks.
We also are going to talk about the energy crisis in the U.S. and how the U.S. is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from running out of diesel fuel. How are you going to get your supplies if there's no diesel fuel? And we talked about just last week, the barges are all shut down. So what's happening here? And in the meantime, Greenpeace is telling us that there is going to be a rise in plastics in the ocean. We're going to look at some of the numbers behind that because they want you to be super anxious about it. In times past, I would have gladly complied and been anxious about it.
So is it the great recycling lie? Like, have they been lying to us, but they don't want it? So they still want us to separate our plastic
well,
from
there's,
our...
Well, there's
don't,
a gap
don't give it away.
In
don't
numbers.
Give, don't,
okay.
don't right, give it away. Right, right. I'm just saying, I'm going to throw that out there. Have we been totally lied to about recycling?
That might be. That's not necessarily it, but thank you for asking a relevant question.
Thank you. We're married. Are you guys ready to get uncomfortable? Because it's time for Redacted on this Tuesday night. Roll it.
Dog in the chat says, so married. We're not just
so
a little
married.
Bit married. It's no, like you can't be just a little bit pregnant. You got to go the whole way, the
right.
whole shebang.
We're so married.
Yeah.
Welcome to Redacted on this Tuesday. Again, this is a show. We are former mainstream media journalists. I spent 20 years as a morning broadcast or a broadcaster, last 10 years at Fox News Channel. Natalie spent a number of years at CBS. And we got out of that racket. We left the mainstream media, saw the light, and we bring this show to you every night for free at 4 p.m. Eastern time right here on YouTube and Rumble and other platforms like Twitch and so forth. So,
you know what I want to say about that? Like, yes, we did choose to leave the jobs that we had in mainstream media, but there might have been circumstances under which we stayed. We just felt like we grew out of those things. But as I read these stories every day and I think, why would someone present the information this way if they were just thinking a little bit critically, if they were just reading a little bit more, they wouldn't make so many leaps about the way that the media portrays current events. But I think having had that experience, I realize it's not really nefarious. It's like some editor says, go cover this. You kind of skim the top of what everyone else is covering and you go that way. It's an echo chamber more than anything else. And I know I wouldn't have gone this deep into a lot of these issues had we been working for media.
Absolutely.
We would have
not.
Just stayed
no, and
the company line.
And as Noam Chomsky says, when you work for one of these mainstream media companies, you work for the court. You work for the corporate beast. It is virtually impossible. Show me, other than maybe, I mean, maybe, well, maybe I can count on like one hand, like mainstream media journalists who actually tell the truth and who don't give in to corporate BS.
It's very rare, but it's just rare to sort of have anyone pushing and saying, well, shouldn't we cover this or that? You saw what happened to Brett Baer when he asked Zelensky about the Azov Battalion. It was cut out of their programming, taken off the internet, right? So these kind of things just don't happen. And I shudder to think what I would otherwise be doing if I were employed by editors and producers. So here we are, and you know, getting ourselves all bloodied up while learning.
With that mindset, do you think there's anything, like, since you've been in that world, and let's say you, because these people have very large salaries, like $30 million, I think, a year for Rachel Maddow and somebody like that. So does that make it hard to go against the grain because you know you would lose that revenue and you have that lifestyle? Is that, like, do you think that's part of it? Like, would you guys be able to say, no, I'm walking away if they ever told you, hey, this is what you're going to cover?
Well, I did. I mean, I walked away from a very nice salary and I said, thank you, goodbye. My time is up here. And they offered me my own show and they were very kind to me. And I said, enough is enough. You know, I'd rather leave. I don't know. I mean, I think, like, if you're making 30 million, the problem with a lot of those people is it's golden handcuffs for so many of those people, you know? And so they don't feel like, I worked with a producer at Fox years ago in Los Angeles and she's like, oh my God, I would love to go someplace else, but I just can't because it's, you know, they just take care of me. And so you're in this like cycle. Anyway, and so we got a lot to cover on the show today. But you know, there's some breaking news. Elon Musk just moments ago informing bankers that he intends to close on this Twitter deal on Friday. We'll cover that for you. I mean, we're just, you know, just kind of talking offhandedly about that. You know, that's going to, so Friday, there's a lot of questions, like all these Twitter people are going to quit. Is he going to fire? There's already talk that he's going to fire 75% of them, right?
Yes, that he was going to fire, 3/4 of the staff already. So we'll see what happens, how much time he has to actually make decisions like that, whether the site could run on 25% employment.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, we have a newsletter that's totally free. And I just want to thank all of you. We had about 1,000 of you signed up for the newsletter yesterday. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope that we bring you a lot of value. It's totally free. Again, free. Just go to redacted.inc, not .com, just .inc. Put in your email address and you'll receive a welcome email. You need to confirm. So you need to confirm your email. So it might wind up in your spam folder so go find it. Click on confirm and then drag it to your inbox. And then tomorrow morning, over your cup of coffee or your afternoon snack, whenever in the world you manage to get it, you can read our daily newsletter covering about 4 or 5 stories. We try to do it with a little fun, a little humor as well. So thank you for signing up for the redacted.inc newsletter. All right, let's get to it because we have a lot of news to get to on this Tuesday. Something unimaginable happened yesterday in the Ukraine war that we want to bring your attention to, something we didn't see coming. In fact, I had to look at the calendar just to make sure that it wasn't April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not. It's not April 1st. Yesterday, discussions about peace unfolded around Ukraine. This all started. It was coming out of Washington, D.C. So liberals yesterday, yesterday, 30 or so progressive Democrats, so-called progressive Democrats, led by Premiya Jayapal, who have up until this point openly funded the corrupt government of Ukraine, they wrote an open letter to President Biden calling for the White House to back off its war strategy in Ukraine and begin immediate ceasefire negotiations. Peace talks? Really? Really? I mean, nothing moves the needle like a strongly worded letter. You know, they didn't make any television appearances, but they did write a letter, which is more than we can ask for, I guess.
Well, one of their main points is self-preservation, not just of their political career, but American borders. They said, if this continues to ratchet up, we risk this war coming to our own shores so that, you know, this will escalate into something we have to deal with. Right now, it's something we're choosing to. You know, that's pretty logical. Those are things we've been saying.
Yes, exactly. You want to attack, you know, the nuclear submarines attacking Los Angeles? Like, is that something you want? So stop it now. Peace talks now. Stop provoking the bear. And then almost immediately, at the same time that the White House, it was like almost amazing. I couldn't believe it. The White House then leapt into action. It was unbelievable. Pencil neck Ned Price, he's the spokesperson for the U.S. State Department. Yes, this is the same U.S. State Department that has openly funding drag shows in Ecuador with U.S. taxpayer dollars. Ned Price came out with a stunning statement about the very same corrupt Zelensky government in Ukraine. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what he was saying. The United States is rolling out massive sanctions, he said, against the corrupt government of Ukraine. Listen to all of the abuses that we've been covering on this show for months. Listen to Ned Price about Ukraine.
Into a single-party authoritarian state that silences dissent, imprisons political opponents, shutters independent media and non-governmental organizations, attacks religious leaders, and uses proceeds from the production and sale of gold to enrich regime insiders and pay off those to keep them in power.
Wow, holy shit, right? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. The U.S. is finally waking up and sanctioning Ukraine for shutting down political opposition, for human rights abuses, for taking control over the media, for censorship, for stealing billions of dollars and enriching Zelensky's pockets along with his corrupt cronies, and for killing journalists and making people disappear. That's all good news. Ned Price at the State Department? What? I'm sorry. He wasn't talking about Ukraine? Oh, my bad. I thought for sure. Are you sure about that? Because, yeah. Oh, no, he wasn't talking about Ukraine. He was talking about Nicaragua. Okay, which will now, as of this morning, be sanctioned by the United States because of those very abuses. Here's the correct video.
Today, the White House announced a series of coordinated actions to respond to Nicaragua's descent under President Daniel Ortega and Vice President Rosario Murillo into a single-party authoritarian state that silences dissent, imprisons political opponents, shutters independent media and non-governmental organizations, attacks religious leaders, and uses proceeds from the production and sale of gold to enrich regime insiders and pay off those to keep them in power.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got so confused there because, wow, it sounds an awful lot like what the U.S.'s own State Department website has to say to this day about Ukraine, in large part, about human rights abuses, about the corruption, about disappearing journalists. I thought they were finally taking action on all of
this. Yes, no, those things still are listed as something that Ukraine does on the U.S. State Department. They still do believe that. They don't say it anymore. They pretend that it's just, oh, I don't know, fiction. It's like fiction. The State Department, they were funding some drag shows, and they also do fiction writing competitions, I suppose.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, we're now sanctioning Nicaragua for those very things. So that's great. But at least we still have those 30 progressive Democrats, right, who wrote a strongly worded letter calling for peace. Like, okay, maybe there is still a silver lining in all of this April Fool's Day chicanery that I'm seeing right now. Here is the letter that these 30 progressive Democrats sent to the White House. Dear Mr. President, we write with appreciation for your commitment to Ukraine's legitimate struggle against Russia's war of aggression, blah-de-de-blah. Then it goes on. Given the destruction created by this war in slide number two, given the destruction created by this war for Ukraine and the world, as well as the risk of catastrophic escalation, we also believe it's in the interest of Ukraine, the United States, and the world to avoid a prolonged conflict. For this reason, we urge you to pair the military and economic support the United States has provided to Ukraine with a proactive diplomatic push, redoubling efforts to seek a realistic framework for a ceasefire. This is consistent with your recognition that there's going to have to be a negotiated settlement here, and your concern that Vladimir Putin does have a way out right now, and I'm trying to figure out what we do about that. So Democrats are basically saying, you've already said this. We're giving you now, let's go along with that. Let's call for peace, negotiated peace, right? They go on. But as legislators responsible for the expenditure of tens of billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars in military assistance in the conflict, we believe such involvement in this war also creates a responsibility for the United States to seriously explore all possible avenues, including direct engagement with Russia to reduce harm and support Ukraine in achieving a peaceful settlement. In May, President Zelensky, despite deadlocked negotiations, reiterated that the war will only definitively end through diplomacy and had previously explained that any mentally healthy person, and any mentally healthy person always chooses the diplomatic path because he or she knows, even if it's difficult, it can prevent the loss of thousands, tens of thousands, and maybe even millions of lives. Great. So peace then, right?
So let's do that right now, because we don't like the idea of lives being lost in this moment, in the time it took you to read this letter.
Right, exactly. How many more people will have died? Because there's bombing unfolding tonight, which we'll get to in a minute. So negotiations, peace, let's do it, right? Let's get on that, right? You have the door now. No nuclear war. Just as soon as they put out this letter, stunning, the warmongers in Congress, these little MFers, jumped all over them, all over them. And they backtracked on this as quickly as they released the letter. Democrats and Republicans, mostly Democrats, though, the party of peace, jumped all over them. Progressives urge Biden shift on Ukraine before backpedaling, writes Bloomberg. So what actually happened? Well, this after, so it was like a simple backpedal at first. Premier Jayapal's office put out a little statement, sort of, you know, like walking it back. We stand firmly with Ukraine. And then, just before the show, we now have a full-on backpedaling. Here's how Glenn Greenwald features this. He says, holy shit, the humiliation of Representative Jayapal in the House Progressive Caucus just got worse, even when it appeared it couldn't. Her degrading reversal of their Ukraine letter after one day wasn't enough. Now they're formally retracting it and blaming staff members.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do the same people work at PayPal?
Wait.
Yes.
Hang on. So like staff members of 30 Congress like people got together and wrote this letter in name of these like Congress. That is an amazing lapse in security and judgment on somebody's part somewhere, if that's true.
Or they were pressured into it by their, you know, kind of kid junior lackeys.
I mean, it was staff members' fault. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so let me just read to you. This is the letter that was now the retraction letter. I don't know if I can pull this. No, I can't. I'll just read it to you because I can't get it up here closer. But this is the actual retraction letter. I'm going to read to you. Why it's not. Maybe. Hold on. There we go. It grew on me. There we go. So, yes, this is the Congressional Progressive Caucus chair statement on the Ukraine letter. Representative Premier Jayapal, chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, issued the following statement in a letter sent regarding Ukraine. The Congressional Progressive Caucus hereby withdraws its recent letter to the White House regarding Ukraine. The letter was drafted several months ago, but unfortunately, it was released by staff members without vetting. So we're going to pick that apart in a second, right? Because I think that's total bullshit, don't you? As chair of the caucus, I accept responsibility for this. Because of the timing, our message is being conflated by some as being equivalent to the recent statement by Republican leader McCarthy threatening to end aid to Ukraine if Republicans take over. The proximity of these statements created the unfortunate appearance that Democrats, who have strongly and unanimously supported and voted for every package of military, strategic, and economic assistance to the Ukrainian people, are somehow aligned with Republicans who seek to pull the plug on American support for Zelensky and the Ukrainian forces. Nothing could be further from the truth. I love Andre in our chat. It's just laughing emojis. I mean, you cannot make this crap up. And it goes on. Every war ends with diplomacy. And this one will too, after Ukrainian victory. Okay, so when you have a victory, do you need diplomacy? Like, after World War II, we didn't have diplomacy with Nazi Germany. They were done when the Red Army moved through, right? And Americans showed up in Berlin, and so did the Red Army. Like, there was no diplomacy. You're done. So where's the diplomacy going to come from after this, after Ukraine is totally destroyed? But they say Ukraine will totally win. So, okay, that means the destruction then of Russia, which we'll see. The letter sent yesterday, they said, although restating the basic principle has been conflated with the GOP opposition to support for Ukrainians' just defense of their national sovereignty. As such, it's a distraction and we withdraw the letter.
It doesn't work like that. This is not an undo send button.
Oh, my God.
But that, I mean, it just, it sounds lame, their excuse. But then also a lot of the things that they wrote in the letter were referenced like throughout the summer. There's nothing that was, you know, happened maybe this month that I'm trying to go through the quotes that they're saying that Zelensky said in May, the Biden quote saying Putin has no way out. That also was late in the spring. But
so to Philip's point, there's no frickin' way.
No.
I mean, how do you, you don't release a letter like this to the White House, to the President of the United States, 2 weeks before an election.
And then say, we didn't mean it.
Yeah, and we didn't mean it. And of course, all of this, and look, it all comes on the heels of, we're going to get to it in a second, but, you know, a lot of these members of the Progressive Caucus being shouted down by their constituents for backing this war, for backing nuclear war, for not voting against war, for not being more vocal to be anti-war. Again, progressives, they're supposed to be anti-war. What the hell are you doing?
Well, and nobody, somebody should ask them, but you felt like this at one point. You absolutely felt like peace was imperative and that escalating this war was a bad idea. So what happened between the drafting a couple months ago and right now that makes you feel differently?
Now, you're operating on the assumption that they are telling the truth about this, that it was a few months ago they drafted this letter.
No, I guess I'm poking holes in the...
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt, and I appreciate that, right? That they had this thing 2 months ago or 3 months ago, and now it just inadvertently staff members sent it to the president.
You're right. You know? It's stupid.
But even, if that were true, that still doesn't make them look good because it still should apply.
Right. And I was going to say, it's worse now. So if you're calling for peace, like now we're literally a dirty bomb, a dirty nuclear bomb sitting in Ukraine. You know, NATO forces amassing 100,000 forces now ready to go from on the NATO side and U.S. side in Ukraine. You have General David Petraeus calling for an all-out invasion, which we'll get to in the next block. Like, hello. So this, yes, this letter is more appropriate than ever, but don't let that listen to, don't listen to us. Listen to warmonger and stooge. We can skip that one, Philip. Listen to warmonger and stooge Max Boot, who wears a fedora like it's 1955. He claims to be a journalist. He represents the establishment wing of the Democratic Party. He just wrote a laughable piece in Jeff Bezos's Washington Post saying all of this peace talk and negotiations and weakness on Ukraine will lead to Republicans winning on November 8th. He says if current trend holds up, Republicans are likely to take over at least the House and quite possibly the Senate, too, along with many state offices. That is how democracies die.
You got to say that like he probably does. This is how democracies die. See?
See?
Yeah,
see?
It does.
See?
It's like a dick tree. See,
I'm working on this story. Yeah. See?
Stop the presses.
So let me just get this right, Max Boot. So democracy dies when Republicans take over and they pull back on the money going to Ukraine, I see, and pushing for peace. That's how democracy dies. Just so we're on the same page, Max Boot. By the way, when you look at Max Boot, when you wear a hat like this in 2022, it not only means you're a douchebag, it also means you want people to notice you. Look at me. I have this 1950s affectation. I'm self-important.
Well, he's wearing the costume of a journalist. I mean, and
I'm breaking
Halloween,
stories. So. I'm getting stories right from the intelligence state mouth. And then I regurgitate that same stuff. Like, he's not out getting stories.
Well, my biggest problem is not necessarily the hat with this screenshot. And it does look like, I don't know, it's a drawing, whatever. But the idea that after we go through this democratic process of election, this is how democracies die, right? Yeah. We're about to actually exercise a democracy, but okay, sure. But because you think that the outcome will be undesirable to you, you're telling me that it's how democracy dies.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, this is how democracy dies, when we have people who vote, right? I want to take a closer look at his column because I think it's instructive to understand the American, how the American electric is, electorate is right now. And he hit the nail right on the head in the first paragraph of his column here. He says, this is Max Boot. He says, polls suggest that the economy and crime are among the most important issues for voters in the midterm. Next slide. And that as a result, Republicans are surging in the home stretch. I think a lot of voters are quoting or are missing the point. These elections are actually a referendum, he writes, on whether you favor the continuation of democracy in America and Ukraine. Wait a minute. So just to be clear, he's saying
that Ukraine's on the ballot.
Well, and he's also saying that America is a democracy. And he's also saying that Ukraine is a democracy. And so we're having a continuation of these democracies. Has he not been paying attention to what Ukraine does? Like, it's listed as the most corrupt government in Europe, and it's listed on the State Department's website for corruption and human rights abuses. So I'm not quite sure I follow you on this continuation of democracy, taking over state media, silencing journalists and critics, getting rid of the opposition. How is that democracy? Can you please explain that to me, Max Boot, with your askew hat? Anyway, he continues. He says, those issues are more closely linked than most people realize, because most of the same MAGA candidates who support Donald Trump's strongman rule at home are either indifferent or hostile to the fate of democracy abroad. Okay. Oh, so wanting lower crime and a stronger economy in America makes you an enemy. So Democrats are losing because they're more focused on Ukraine than they are on Americans.
Also, I love it when, you know, people tell other people how they feel. They feel indifferent and hostile.
Right.
Right. Because it's something that he can't. Again, the sort of Trumpism that has spread across certain countries is America first, or, you know, Brazil first, or Hungary first. This is the type of politics that is spreading from the Trump camp, not necessarily how they feel about democracy, but it's wonderful that you can tell other people how they feel.
Yeah. So you need to suffer. You need to suffer so Ukraine can have democracy. That's what he's telling you.
It's just that sentence alone is one of the things that Clayton and I try so hard not to do on this show, is tell other people who they are or how they feel or what they think. And he's so comfortable doing that that I try so hard not to do this all the time.
Well, he's a beltway elite. You know, he doesn't talk to actual Americans. When's the last time he left Washington, D.C. with that hat on and actually went and talked to real people? You know, he says we should let our country die because that's the right thing to do. Let our country die because we need to support Ukraine. He literally says, quote, you are either indifferent or hostile to the fate of democracy abroad, end quote. It's like the CIA just handing him talking points. Like, if you want low crime in the United States, you must hate Ukraine. Like, okay. that's the equivalency here. If you want jobs in the United States, then you must hate Ukraine. What? Then we don't hate the Ukrainian people. What are you talking about? It's just we have an absolute crisis on our hands, and we need to take care of our own people and not be put at gunpoint being told we need to ship billions of dollars to a country that is corrupt. And the money is disappearing into the hands of terrorists, and we don't know where that money is going. That's a question we should all be asking.
Well, that and the false dichotomy of, like, you either support democracy, which is dropping bombs on people, right, or you're hostile towards democracy, and you know, like yeah, how the hell is that the only two options we have? We can't. I would be full on to, like, let's spread democracy to the world. Let's not do it with bombs.
Right. Yes. Let's have you know, a little, we'll have like a prayer sit-in. Like, let's all sit together and have some prayers together.
Well, that's like a little condescending, though. I think Philip is saying there probably is a way that's not like a prayer, is somewhere in between the spectrum of prayer circle and bomb. Like, is there a different,
well, I don't know how it's condescending. I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought you were making fun.
No. I'm not. I'm just saying.
I don't feel condescended against.
Okay, good. All right. I was playing Mother Hen. I apologize.
I just mean, like, yeah, there's a much better way through communication. Like, Zelensky's like, we're not even talking anymore. We're not going to talk. We're not going to talk to Russia at all. No. Just through bombs. Oh, okay. So America's just supposed to go blindly and support that. But he is right, though. Democrats are losing because they can't answer the simple question. Why are you pushing us into a nuclear war over a corrupt government like Ukraine? Watch as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who ran as an anti-war candidate, then later removed it from her website. She can't answer the basic questions from her constituents in New York about supporting this war. Watch.
Tulsi Gabbard has shown guts where you've shown cowardice. I believed in you, and you became the very thing you sought to fight against.
I'll get to the issue last. I will get to the issue.
Why not right now?
Because you are being rude to everybody around
us. Jimmy, what are you...
Being rude. So she won't answer that question, and neither will the other members of the Progressive Caucus, but they'll retract an open peace letter to President Biden because it was a mistake. We blame it on our staff members. We're sorry about that. So she won't answer that question, but at least now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez this afternoon is now making new videos. Is she calling for peace? No. She's making ASMR voting videos. Watch.
You know, if politics doesn't work out, I can always start one of these channels. Vote. Early voting.
Yeah, you're given so many reasons to vote, right? Like, oh my God, honey, did you see what AOC put out on TikTok this afternoon? We gotta go vote for her.
Well, she's trying to be cute.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how that's an excuse. She's trying to be cute. That's enough of that.
I'm not saying that as an excuse.
All right.
She does look very proud of herself for being cute.
Yeah, she's very proud of herself. So we've got more news to get to here on the show. Please subscribe to the channel if we bring you any value at all. You're supporting independent journalists, and we really appreciate it. The journalists that we have here on the show that we feature, we try to feature some amazing independent journalists and voices here on this channel that you're not going to see in the mainstream media. So when you subscribe and you turn on that little bell notification dingus, you'll get notified when we are live, which is every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to talk about the latest on the Ukraine war as attacks have just unfolded a few minutes ago. We'll bring you the very latest on that, plus Al-Qaeda infiltration into Ukraine. We've got the latest on the Nord Stream pipeline we're going to cover. We're also going to look at the energy crisis in America, and Natalie's going to do a deep dive on the recycling lie, perhaps the big recycling lie.
Yes.
Around plastics. But first, do you guys know that identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America? There's a new victim every 14 seconds. And that's why I'm excited to partner with today's sponsor, Aura. Now, last year, we had our entire Facebook account taken over by hackers. And it was unbelievable. I mean, David and I were working on a project and he was like, oh, my God, we can't get into your Facebook account. Totally blocked. We wish we would have known about it. If we had Aura at the time, we would have found out about it. In fact, the other day I received a notification and alert that one of my passwords was found on the dark web. It's like, oh, great. Where's that being sold? I'll tell you more about that in a second. But Aura is identity theft protection, fraud monitoring, and a VPN, password management and antivirus software all combined into one easy to use app. You might have one of these services already, but if you don't have all the tools, it's like locking the front door but leaving the back door wide open. Those who have their identity stolen are often shocked when it happens. Imagine trying to log into your email account one day and see the password has changed hours ago, and then you start getting notifications of activity on your bank, your credit cards, crypto accounts. Let me know in the chat right now, how many of you have had this happen to you? I've had it happen like four different times to me. It's terrifying.
And you see how often it's attempted to happen as well. If you have two-factor authentication and you wake up in the morning and you have all the codes,
yeah,
where someone was trying to reset, but it continued to send authentication codes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens more often than you think.
Yeah. It's scary. And unfortunately it's your reality for too many people. Thankfully, Aura monitors the dark web for your emails, your passwords, social security numbers, and sends alerts fast right to your phone and your email. And again, I got an alert the other day where they found one of my passwords on the dark web. And they said, you might want to go change this right now. And so you go in, you get these alerts, and it's amazing. They give you real-time alerts on suspicious credit inquiries, like if someone was opening a loan or a credit card in your name. Protect your family and yourself from identity theft by going to aura.com/redacted. You're going to get 14 days for free and protection. They're going to give you away right now, two-week free trial. So that's what they're going to do to help you guys when you guys sign up. And we have a link in the description box below so you can check it out. If you sign up right now, Aura will give you a two-week free trial with my link so you can see for yourself how many times Aura finds you or your family members' personal info on the dark web. And if you sign up, let me know in the comments below if your personal information has been compromised. You won't regret checking. At least you get it for free for 14 days. Try it out. Go to aura.com/redacted for 14 days free and get some of that info. All right. Well, we've got more news to get to. Thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. Shall we talk about the very latest? Let's talk about the latest in Ukraine, because just a few moments ago, right before we started, the Russian army has launched a massive barrage of weapons attacks into central Ukraine. Of course, most of the country is already in darkness. It appears things are starting to heat up overnight. Here is the air raid sirens and attacks just a few minutes ago before our show started. Listen. This is caught on the security camera. You can hear the air raids in the background. This is in central Ukraine, and again, attacks happening in different locations. Now, there are reports at this hour, too, that the Russian army preparing for the larger invasion, the larger attack, still waiting for the ground to freeze before that unfolds, before that happens. And there's continued shelling that's been happening into Russian territory. Patrick Lancaster has been doing some great reporting on that. Really horrific bombings that have been taking place across the border. So this is about to get worse before it gets better. And there doesn't seem to be any discussion about peace. That ship has already sailed from Washington. So a couple of big updates on the NATO-led war in Ukraine that we want to bring you. First, let's start with Al-Qaeda. Some major news tonight. Of course, we've been covering the fact that Al-Qaeda and ISIS terrorists are now being recruited by NATO and Ukrainian government to come fight in Ukraine. If this is a new story to you, like, raise your hand if this is new information to you. Like, you're going to say, wait a second, what? Al-Qaeda and ISIS are now fighting in Ukraine, being recruited by NATO and Ukrainian forces to fight. Yeah, that's happening. We've covered it. It's well documented now. They're being paid thousands of dollars per month as a stipend from your tax dollars to do this, by the way. Who do you think's paying for this? This is a NATO-funded, this is a U.S.-funded, NATO-funded slush fund that's being able to divvy this money out. It's coming right from your tax dollars. So if you can't pay your energy bill this month, be heartened to know that your money is going to this. We told you this 2 weeks ago. We covered it on the show. In fact, we featured one of the Al-Qaeda soldiers who was talking on camera about how much money he was being paid. And we showed you that guy.
Yes, he talked about where he had come from, how he got there, who his funders were, and who his, I don't want to use the word co-workers. What's the
co-workers.
word?
It's like I clocked in today at Al-Qaeda. Where do you work? Oh, I work at Al-Qaeda headquarters.
Great benefits there.
They have a great lunchroom.
You get 40 virgins when you bomb yourself.
A great lunchroom. They have all sorts of perks. I wonder if they get 2 weeks off at Al-Qaeda. When you come work for Al-Qaeda, you get 2 weeks off and benefits. So we just got word this afternoon from an Iraqi newspaper. This is amazing. We're actually getting news from Iraqi journalists, Iraqi newspapers. So this is an Iraqi newspaper on the number of terrorists who are now leaving Syria, heading into Ukraine, and they will be paid for with your tax dollars. The Iraq edition of Al Alarm reports that dozens of Al-Qaeda-linked militants have left for Ukraine from the Syrian province of Idlib to participate in hostilities against Russia. Here's the paper. The newspaper says the number of terrorists who've left Idlib for Ukraine over the past 2 weeks is estimated at more than 70 terrorists, including Al-Qaeda leaders such as Abdul Hakim al-Sashini. Many of these groups might sound familiar to you in Syria and Libya because the United States funded these groups and met with these groups, shook hands with these groups and these leaders. Here is Senator John McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham shaking hands with Al-Qaeda leader Abdel Hakim, giving him a nice prize for his part in helping to destroy Libya. Like, here's what you get. Thank you, Mr. Al-Qaeda, for helping to destroy Libya. Here is Senator McCain when he went to Syria in 2013 to meet with ISIS and Al-Qaeda fighters there. Take a look at this. Republican Senator McCain in his secret trip to Syria in 2013 to meet with freedom fighters. Former Al-Qaeda operative Abu Musa, now an ISIS press officer. So he moved up. You know, he moved from Al-Qaeda. He got promoted. Mm-hmm. He's now handling public relations for ISIS. ISIS Caliph Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi trained with Israel with American tax dollars. So that's good. Your tax dollars went to train him up. Mohammed Nour, suspect in the kidnapping of three hostages, shown in ISIS videos, awful ISIS videos, by the way. So that's who the American Senate is hanging out with, all these good guys. So this funding has never stopped. You know, anyone who's been following the story knows that United States has been funding Al-Qaeda for years. We started many, many years ago, of course, in the late 1970s under Jimmy Carter, and it continued under Reagan. So this funding has never stopped. The U.S. continues to use al-Qaeda in Syria and other countries, and
but
now
at least,
more of them.
I mean, you know, according to this graphic, they are trained. This one in the middle trained in Israel with American tax dollars, whereas most of the reports we're getting out of the Ukrainian army is that they are untrained. Most of their trained forces were wiped out early in the conflict in the spring.
So that is a good silver lining, yeah.
Who do they have left are, you know, untrained civilians. So if they need to pull in some guys who know what they're doing, well, you know,
that's why I love I love my wife. She always tries to find the silver lining.
I'm being slightly facetious, but okay. I do think it is a point.
It is a point.
They have a very low amount of skilled fighters left.
No, and that is true. Like we covered last week or 2 weeks ago, these fighters coming from Syria are hardened fighters. They've been paid for by the United States.
I'm not advocating at all. I'm just saying.
No, I know you're being funny, but they're hardened fighters. They're veterans. And they're fighting against the Bashar al-Assad Assad government. Mm-hmm. So these are hardened American-trained fighters.
Yes.
Now we've been funding al-Qaeda and ISIS. So they're teaming up. Now they're teaming up with NATO and Ukraine. So welcome to the battlefield. Unbelievable.
And are they doing this just because they believe in democracy, or are they getting paid very well?
First of all, they don't believe in democracy. Remember George W. Bush said they hate our freedoms. They hate our mm-hmm. freedoms. They hate our freedoms.
So then we're just paying them very well.
They like our money.
Well, again, we shouldn't tell them what they think or feel, but it seems the reporting is that the funding continues.
Right. Thousands of dollars a month. So I'm going to go with money. I'm going to go with that they like money. Now to the dirty nuclear bomb story. An update there. Russia this afternoon, according to the Russian ambassador to the United States, and I saw this earlier today, a bunch of people commented on a video, said Russia has repeatedly said, Vladimir Putin has repeatedly said, we have zero intention of using a nuclear bomb. And today, the Russian ambassador to the United States says Russia did not intend and does not plan to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. There you go. So all of this bluster about a nuclear bomb being pushed, a dirty bomb being placed in Ukraine at the hands of the hands of Russians, they say is garbage. Today, Russia formally met with the United Nations. Now, this meeting happened this afternoon. It happened behind closed doors. The 15-member body, they went behind closed doors to talk about it. And Russia went there to present their evidence to the United Nations and tell them they found a dirty bomb in Ukraine. They say that Ukraine and NATO are about to use this dirty bomb in order to label Russia as nuclear terrorists. And then also, it would also give NATO full-scale justification to attack Russia inside of Ukraine, even though they're doing that already and they're attacking. So I'm like, but this is like, now you're officially going to attack us. So they did in front of the UN today raise that accusation. And of course the West slammed them, said, no, that's not true. That's not happening.
Yes. In fact, Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, came out and said, we put no credibility in that. We're not even listening. Basically the Russia has warned France, the UK, the US, the European Union about this dirty bomb tactic. And basically the full Western response was this. We don't hear that. Like, are you saying something? Because I don't hear it. This is like how my children talk to each other when they're trying to be annoying.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I think it was smart of them to come out in front on this. Like, let us know what you think about this in the chat. But I think it was smart for them to come out in front and say, here's what we've discovered. We think that this is a false flag operation. Here is the location of it. Why don't you go investigate International Atomic Energy Agency? Now, the IAEA doesn't really have any intention of going and looking. What they're going to do, though, is continue to look at other nuclear power plants.
Yes. We had a super chat that mentioned the location of it just a minute ago. David, can you look at that super chat? It's long gone. The location that they're saying this bomb was.
All right, we'll get
anyway,
to that.
Go
yeah.
ahead.
So former General David Petraeus wants the United States to invade. Just like we did in Iraq. So David Petraeus wants us to lead a multinational force that does not include NATO, but is a nation of willing participants. Okay, did you hear that? So General David Petraeus, who failed in Afghanistan, right, wants the United States to invade just like we did in Iraq, but without NATO. He wants to create an international force. Colonel Douglas McGregor this afternoon wrote an interesting piece this afternoon about Petraeus and says the whole thing seems really fishy. Here's Douglas McGregor's piece this afternoon. He says, according to Petraeus, the military actions he advocates would not be a NATO intervention, but a multinational force led by the U.S. and not as a NATO force. In other words, a U.S.-led multinational force on the Iraq model composed of conventional ground, air, and naval forces. Petraeus does not explain why U.S. military action is needed, but it's not hard to guess. The intervention is designed to rescue Ukrainian forces from defeat and presumably compel Moscow to negotiate on Washington's terms, whatever those terms might be. Admittedly, he says, the whole business seems weird. But Petraeus' suggestion should not be dismissed, not because Petraeus' military expertise warrants consideration. It doesn't. Rather, it merits attention because Petraeus would never make such a recommendation unless he was urged to do so by powerful figures in Washington and on Wall Street. Yes. And as Jeffrey Sachs tells Americans, globalists and neocon elites clearly want a direct armed confrontation with Russia. So what he's saying is that the intelligence deep state, who's put Petraeus out there over the past few weeks, he's suddenly been doing television appearances, is getting his marching orders directly from the intelligence state inside of Washington, right from the CIA and Pentagon, and marching those orders right to the public.
It's interesting that he has a good name to do these kind of things when it was not that long ago that we pulled out of Afghanistan, and that was a shambles. And most of us scratched our head about why were we there in the first place? What was that all for? All of these lives ruined, American and Afghani. And then now we feel like inspired by General Petraeus?
Right, like, because we have such a short memory. Right. We see this sort of normalizing of old coots. Right. We like suddenly George W. Bush is now he's like the fun old president who paints dogs. Right. And he's doing master classes on how to be a good leader. And we're like, oh, George W. Bush wasn't so bad. Like, have you lost your mind? Like, oh, yeah. You know, Dick Cheney. Remember a few months ago, Dick Cheney with his daughter running for re-election. And Democrats were all over like, well, Dick Cheney says that Trump's crazy.
Yeah.
We're listening to Dick Cheney now. Dick Cheney. he has a Darth Vader heart inside of him. Like, are you kidding me? We're listening to Dick Cheney, warmonger Dick Cheney. We have such a short memory.
And Natalie, I tried to answer you earlier. Pat Cat said, can you show on a map where exactly the alleged dirty bomb is located? I will give you a hint. Mykolaiv.
Okay.
Mykolaiv.
Yeah, and I saw a few in the chat saying this city as well, too. So we'll look into that. Thank you so much.
So something interesting else, happened today in Ukraine. A couple of big pieces I just wanted to cover today. German leaders were in Ukraine today. And boy, did they put on a show for them. So the Germans will so all in an effort to get the Germans to continue to send them weapons, which they've been reticent about. They've been pulling back because of the energy crisis and inflation. And also the story they're not reporting is that they're running out of steel. They don't have steel processing, and you need steel to make those Leopard tanks. And guess what? They don't have it. So Germans don't have it. They can't send it to another country. They don't even have it for their own country right now. So Ukraine, the Germans were in town. Okay, the president was in town. German President Steinmeier was there. And Ukraine then sets off a fake air raid siren. Now, according to multiple reports, there was no reason for the siren to go off. There was no attacks. The whole reason they did it was so they could send the German president, into the underground bunker for 2 hours while they did this little charade. So take a look at this. The Ukrainians shoved the German president Steinmeier into a bomb shelter for 2 hours today after they staged a fake air raid. He should be thankful Bono wasn't there as well. Isn't that amazing, right, though?
They would have forced him to listen to their music.
Yeah, here's my new record. Isn't that hilarious, though? Like, it's all a charade. Like, here's what we'll do. We'll make them really... We're gonna keep them down there until they agree to send us more weapons, and we also want them to really believe that we're under attack right this moment. So it's a way of saying, ooh, you're not going to send us weapons? Well, then we'll barricade you in the basement for 2 hours until you reconsider your position.
Again, John Podger, I was right. War is theater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The biggest theater of all. And the biggest theater of all is perhaps what's going on with the Nord Stream pipeline. So Nord Stream pipeline update now, because the New York Times this morning, the shitty New York Times, out with this piece, three inquiries but no answers to who blew holes in Nord Stream pipeline. Now, they say, and I was just going to go through this piece because it's really fascinating. And what they're basically saying is, with these three, I got to log in here. These three inquiries, they do not have an answer yet. So all of these countries are actively looking at this different data, but they're keeping the Russians away from it. So they're being cagey about it. They're not telling us why they're being so tight-lipped about it. So they have, and they explain it. There was one big explosion, and then there was another one hours later. So two separate explosions. It happened again. Underwater explosions farther off the northeastern coast. The next morning, photographs showed enormous blossoms of methane bubbling from the surface. Nord Stream 1 and 2, severe loss of pressure. Now, a month after the subsea explosions, Nord Stream pipelines in international waters, the leak has stopped. The first underwater images of the twisted metal and severe openings have been published, and three countries have investigations underway. But they go on. So Denmark, Germany, and Sweden have launched separate investigations into the leaks. Denmark and Sweden because the explosions occurred in waters that were within their so-called exclusive economic zones, and Germany because that is where the pipelines terminate. In a letter to the UN Security Council 3 days after the incident, Denmark and Sweden said they believe that several hundred kilograms of explosives had been used to damage the pipes, each of which measures more than 3.5 feet in diameter and is made from steel encased in weighted concrete. All three countries are refusing to release any information. Okay, we're not telling you. We can't tell you any of this. All three countries are refusing to release any information. And they're also, and Russia is also saying, you know, we're being told that we can't, what does Russia say? Russian officials have complained that they have been blocked from investigating the explosion. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov accused the Europeans of conducting the investigation secretively without Moscow's involvement. According to statements we're hearing from Germany, from France, and from Denmark, the investigation was set up inherently to put blame on Russia, Mr. Peskov says.
As well as these three countries that are doing their own investigation, Finland has said, we can fix it, though. We can start working on it. We think it'll be just a few months. And we have not seen the corrosion that would be expected if the pipes were not fixable. It seems like they are still bright and shiny, so we're going to get to work on that.
Yeah, the good news is it's so deep in the water that there's no oxygen down there. So the oxidation that you would normally see, the rusting of these pipes is not happening because it's so deep. So good. They're nice and shiny. They can get them up and running again in a few months so that Russia can go and bomb them again. Just joking. Of course, we know who did it.
Speaking of Russia bombing them, though, this is one of those things where, like, if you want to know when they're lying to you, I mean, basically, if they're speaking, they're probably lying to you. But when they say, like, Russia definitely did this, but we can't tell you who did it.
Right.
That right there. Right. Which is it? You know, they're like, we definitely know who did this. We're not going to tell you who it was. It was Russia, but we're not going to let you know.
And these three countries that are saying that they're doing an investigation, they want to accuse Russia. They are Western aligned. Germany is the West. So,
show us.
They would say something.
Show us. Yeah. If it's Russia, then just show us. But they won't because we know exactly who it is. So they can't do that. And they're being told not to do it. Right. So, you know, all it takes is a call from the Pentagon. Do not release that. You know, Lloyd Austin, do not under any circumstances release that information. Okay. We've got more pipelines to bomb and we're going to use the same concrete explosives that we just used. So we don't want that getting around. We've got more news to get to here on this show on this Tuesday. Thank you so much for subscribing. When you do subscribe, like Jeff, he's a new rebel. Welcome to the rebellion, Jeff. Jeff Howard just became a new rebel. When you subscribe, your name will pop up here on the big board. So thank you so much for that. We're going to talk about the great recycling lie and the energy crisis coming to America because no one is prepared for what's about to happen in the next 23 and a half days or so, according to the supply numbers on diesel fuel. We'll get to that. But first, I want to tell you about 10 years ago, one of the best trading platforms on the planet was created, and our show sponsor, Moomoo. Now, today they are celebrating their 10th anniversary. That's right, their 10th anniversary is this week, October 29th, and they're giving away some free money. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. Moomoo is a $6 billion company with 18 million users around the world. They have one of the best trading experiences to buy stocks, to buy crypto, to buy commodities. It's very clean. It's very easy. They've got great learning tools. They have free extra data that you don't get in those other trading platforms. It has a really friendly user application. So whether you're on Mac, Windows, Android, or iOS, you're not going to use the IRS website, then it's really, really clean and easy to use. The market right now, of course, is totally in the toilet. Yeah, it's actually up a little bit today, but mostly in the toilet. So why not take advantage right now? Just get these free stocks and don't do anything. You don't have to buy any stocks. Don't trade. Just sit back and learn. They have a great e-learning platform that you can learn for free. How to trade, how to buy gold, how to buy, you know, commodities. Understand what's going on in this market. And when you make your initial deposit, you're going to get that 10th anniversary bonus once you make your initial deposit and open your account. They're giving away an extra $10 bonus for their 10-year anniversary, plus 15 free stocks valued at up to $32,000 for a limited time offer right now. So they are celebrating their birthday, and they want to give away a little free gift. Celebrate Moomoo's 10th anniversary with some free money. Get $10 bonus and up to 15 free stocks valued up to $30,000 for a limited time. Redacted.inc/Moomoo is the website. You have to go to that link to get those bonuses. So it's redacted.inc/Moomoo, not .com. It's .inc, redacted.inc/Moomoo. So we thank them for their support of the show.
All right. Well, have you been paying attention to what's happening in Europe with energy crisis and protests and climate lockdowns? Well, if you live in the United States, that's coming soon to a theater near you, because the United States is facing an energy crisis of its own, ill-timed, just a few days before the election. This comes straight out of the mouth of the White House economic team, and yet the mainstream media is pretty much ignoring the story because they don't want it to hurt the Biden administration and Democrats in the upcoming weeks. So the White House economic advisor Brian Diaz says we are facing a diesel shortage. Epoch Times did cover this story. Here's the headline. It says the U.S. only has 25 days of diesel supply. Shortage could cripple economy. Now, recall that there will be less fuel in circulation starting November 1st, because that's what OPEC Plus voted on. So energy is hard to come by these days. You can't just turn on the tap and it comes. The whole global supply chain.
Actually, you could turn on the tap and it would come if you allow it to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't shut down a Keystone pipeline and allow drilling to take place and actually not sanction Russia. You could turn. Oh, and also don't blow up the tap, like in the case of Nord Stream.
Yeah, all of those things. Yeah, you're right. You could do that if you were playing sanely with the plumbing, but they're not, right? So here's a shot out of that article. It says, the country is down to 25 days of diesel supply with stockpiles at their lowest level for this time of year in records going back to 1993. In the Northeast, where more people burn fuel for home heating than anywhere else in the country, also use a lot of fuel for fossil fuels for cooking, inventories are a third of their typical levels going into winter. National Economic Council Director Brian Deese called the levels unacceptably low. By late October, diesel prices had risen for more than 2 weeks to 50% above where they were a year ago.
Oh, those prices are cheap. 50% more for diesel?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Now, most of your transport, of the things that you know and love, most of the things that you can just reach out and touch around your desk where you're sitting right now, are shipped to you on trucks, most likely that run on diesel. So this means no more of that if things shut down, or at least much less of that. No gasoline transport of, you know, delivery vehicles. No Amazon. No
Walmart. I got a question, though. That makes zero sense. You know why? Because it takes less to refine diesel than it does regular fuel. So how is that possible?
How is what possible? What part of that?
That, like, that they don't have enough?
That they're going to be a shortage of it. It just seems like that is planned, because if it takes less resources to make diesel, it would be easier to make diesel, and in theory, it should be cheaper.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't have the crude, you know, if you've shut down you've shut down drilling, you've hammered your ability to get access to the raw materials, you can't refine anything.
And
well, right,
you
but
hate
then how
everybody,
do they have
so you sanction
gas,
everywhere that you would get it.
Well, I guess, I mean, they're also
having, if that
gas
were the case, they'd be like, we're going to run out of all gas, period.
Well, we do. We are running. I mean, we just had another announcement earlier this week. We didn't cover it on the show, but the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the Biden administration is rolling out more in time for the election because we don't have enough gasoline. I mean, that's why we're seeing, you know, $4 a gallon. Where, David, you're out in you're out in Alaska, right? What are you guys paying
Washington
for
Washington State?
What? So you're out in Fairbanks out there. What are you guys paying for paying for gas out there right now? Do you know?
About 565, I think, was what I filled up last.
Wow.
565.
Yeah, that was this morning.
Holy smokes. What about you guys in the chat? Let us know what part of the world you're in. What are you paying for petrol? What are you paying for gas right now? It's
but I don't know how Sarah, my neighbor Sarah Palin, she gets it for like $3.50, and I have no idea how she's doing it. Mm. I think she's directly importing it from Russia. I think she has like a direct line.
Well, she can see Russia right from her, from her front porch. So,
I can't from my yard, even though it's my neighbor. But
you're so close there. So no Walmart, no Amazon packages, no food, no stores, no getting to work. Think about empty shelves, food supplies. Not running, not getting to stores. Truckers that I was reviewing today were saying, we can't afford to do this. We can't, we're losing money. We cannot afford to do this. No coal to the electric companies, right? So, you know, who do you think powers those cars, those electric cars, right? It comes from coal.
Yes, yeah,
it comes from coal, and it comes from the transport. So you need to transport the coal to the electric company in order to make the power your electric vehicles.
And we spoke last week about how now the barge in the Mississippi River is the barges are not able to run because of low water levels. So 2,000 boats were stranded that would otherwise deliver coal, which is needed for fuel in other regions. You know, this diesel shortage, it focuses on the Northeast, but the rest of the country is also will also hurt for all of these things.
Yeah, no electric, no furnace, no heat for winter, no lights, etc. And by the way, New England already rationing heating even before peak winter. Bloomberg today writing fuel stockpiles in New England are a third of seasonal norms. Actually, it's from October 21st. High cost forces consumers to partially fill heating oil tanks, so they're not even filling them up. And costs have skyrocketed, all because the U.S. is sanctioning Russia. But don't worry, Biden says he's lowering energy costs today. Listen.
By bringing down the cost of everyday things they have to work their families through. It's not just food and energy, which is critical. We brought down the cost of energy.
Oh, you did. What planet are you living in?
No, because Jean-Pierre had said that recently. We're going to bring down the price of other things. And actually, they mentioned because Medicare premiums are going down, you'll have more room in your budget, you know, by saving that $13 a month. Or whatever the premium is lowering. Although I did have a viewer write me that said Medicare premiums are going down, but not Part C and Part D, which is interesting. I think we should look into that. Thank you for that tip. But they really think that these like little things over here will make up for the big price increases over here. Maybe that's how the federal budget, you know, runs their books, but American families can't.
No, and Jean-Pierre speaking.
And I just
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I looked at a average prices of gasoline because I remember a time when diesel was always cheaper than gas, right?
Yeah,
and at some point it shifted. And looking back in like the 80s, it was like $1.25 for unleaded and 82 cents for diesel. And even in 2002, it was $1.56 for unleaded premium and 84 cents for diesel.
Wow.
So when was this switch to where diesel became so much more expensive than regular gas?
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, because if you look at for a barrel of crude oil, we talked about crude a minute ago, right? A barrel of crude oil for, and according to the data from the EIA.gov, U.S. petroleum refineries produce an average of 11 to 12 gallons of diesel fuel from each 42-gallon barrel of crude oil.
Frosty Youth says $9 a gallon for diesel in California.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. So I'm looking at this chart that says it's 2004 is when it happened. Unleaded was $1.90 and diesel went up to $1.24. So that's where it started to flip. So what happened then?
In what year?
2004, he said.
2004. That's interesting. I don't know. Nothing stands out.
Yeah, 2004, 2005. Sorry.
Nothing stands out to me. The cost, I mean, other than, of course, we were at war in Afghanistan and Iraq. So maybe it was the amount of fuel being consumed by our military and the refining capacity in Iraq that, you know, oil fields on fire. Maybe that was it. I don't know. That's just the only date that kind of stands out in my brain. But
I moved to Portland in 2004, but I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Probably I not, but you might. You never know.
Maybe.
So
I don't know. Did you have a diesel car?
I did not.
No, we had one. Which one of our cars was diesel? The Tiguan?
One of them, yeah. I don't know. I forget. So all of these lies, so you mentioned Jean-Pierre, and so she was on the podium today, and all of these lies that the Biden administration continues to spin around energy costs is just amazing. Watch.
The president will continue to do everything he can to lower prices.
Oops, that's a little short here. He's going to do everything he can to continue to lower prices, even though they're going up. So, well, you mean like going to Saudi Arabia and fist bumping the Saudi prince? Like that really helped because now OPEC is.
Well, she was just saying a couple of weeks ago how gas was going down faster than it ever has in world history.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. It's amazing what their short memory. So these reporters have basically had enough of all of this. Watch this on this same question.
Today, the president seemed to be countering some of this GOP messaging on the economy, and he told people that Republicans like to call Democrats big spenders and people should look at the facts. But the facts don't seem to be exactly how he's painting it on some of these issues. He has claimed repeatedly that the administration reduced the deficit. But if you break it down, spending was high because of the pandemic. Those programs expired. And that brought down the deficit. And then that deficit reduction was spent on canceling student loans. And then on the jobs claims that he made, he said that President Trump was the first since Hoover to lose jobs during his administration. But and he claimed that he had created 10 million new jobs. But in reality, those jobs have mostly been added back. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics says only about 514,000 jobs have been newly created. So how are people supposed to take this kind of messaging on their most important issue seriously when some of this feels like smoke and mirrors?
Well, let me tell you what the American people should take very, very seriously. Let me remind you of the Trump tax cut of 2017, $2 trillion that was not paid for, not paid for. So I want to be very clear about that.
Okay. So this is the messaging they're coming out with now over the past 24 hours. I've seen this from a couple of Democrats. Oh, it's the Trump tax cuts. That's the reason we're in. So it was first it was the pandemic, then it was Putin's price hike, and now it's Trump's tax cuts. That's why we're facing these higher gas prices.
I don't know, but that reporter nailed it on all of the sort of smoke and mirrors to her point, or just like she laid out the math points that they are giving and said, yes, these are spun to look a certain way. But when you peel back the math, it's pretty easy to see it's not progress, right?
No.
So the question itself, there was nothing she could have said to answer that because that reporter nailed it.
Well, when Nancy Pelosi this weekend was asked about inflation, Nancy Pelosi, I think, probably has the best answer on inflation right now. What are we going to do? Here's her answer.
And the fact is that when I hear people talk about inflation, as I heard him there, we have to change that subject. Inflation is a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
The EU, the European Union, the UK, the British have higher inflation rate than we do here. It's not, the fight is not about inflation. It's about the cost of living.
Oh.
And the fact is.
So we need to. We need to change the subject. So when someone brings up inflation, you just need to change the subject. That's what we need to do.
That's
she is
helpful,
right.
Thanks.
She is right that it's higher in Europe. Well, I mean, it's going
to. I love that. But we have to change the subject because it's global. But like, if you talk about like climate change, does that mean that they have to change the subject because it's a global phenomenon? Like anything that's a global phenomenon, we now can't talk about.
Right.
Like, what the hell is that?
Because it's worse over there, so we should feel better about how bad it is here. Like, it's not as bad as what it is in Latvia right now, and Estonia, 20%.
even though economic models predicted based on certain actions that your party has taken that we would get here. Right. I mean, it doesn't take a genius. President Trump, on the day he left office, said, have fun with those $7 gallon price gas prices. Bye. Right. And so economic models have been telling us we would get here. Okay. And you take no responsibility.
Well, and no mention of that this all being our influence. Like, a lot of what's going on over there is our fault. But still.
No. Ignore all of that. Just change the subject.
Well, we're leaders when we want to be.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenon, whatever she said. Phenomena.
It's a funk phenomenon.
We've got more news to get to here on this Tuesday. We're going to talk about what's going on in the recycling world. Because this is a story that may shock you. Actually, I'm not going to even say it may shock you. It will shock you. You would definitely want to stay around for that. Natalie worked very hard on this story, so please pay attention to that. We're also going to take your super chats here in just a moment before we get you out of here. And please subscribe to the channel while you're here. New Rebel Reed Holland is a new rebel. Welcome to the Rebellion, Reed. Thank you so much. But
all
first.
Right. Well, first we want to tell you about our friends over at ExpressVPN. Now, you know already that ExpressVPN protects your privacy and your security online. But here's a little pro tip that you might not know is that when you use a VPN service like ExpressVPN, you can unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. So when you sometimes try to watch content, it says this content's not available in your region. Well, if you're like me and you have, like to watch things like with subtitles, then you need to turn on your VPN so that you can mask like you're in those places and then take advantage of the content that is so vast in other places. For instance, I love things that are subtitled. I had to turn on a VPN to watch The Extraordinary Attorney Woo on Netflix, and I loved it. The other one, it was a Korean show, South Korean show. I've also watched The Cook of Castamar in Spain. Awesome stuff. So this whole week, I've been using my ExpressVPN to binge those things. Also, you can watch The Office on UK Netflix, all kinds of stuff. You guys, so much stuff. Also, when we're researching news sites, there's a lot of things that are just blocked to us based on where we are. I have to turn on an ExpressVPN to let me control where I want these sites to think that I am located. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is because it's ridiculously fast and easy. There's never any buffering or lag. You can stream in HD, no problem. So if you want to access hundreds of new shows, go to expressvpn.com/redacted right now, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/redacted. expressvpn.com/redacted to learn more. So my Korean show that I like, The Extraordinary Attorney Woo, is about a young lawyer who's autistic, so she can basically memorize. She's like Rain Man, can memorize all the law volumes, and no one can beat her, but then it's also about her life. It's really charming. It's a cute little show, but it's fun and loved it. So if any of you like that in the chat, let me know.
Yes, she would love that show, and she was laughing. There was a lot. I watched it out of one eye because I was doing other things, but it looked very funny. While she was watching that, I was watching Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, I also really like An Astrologer's Guide to a Broken Heart out of Italy. I like a lot of stuff from a lot of different countries. So if you have more shows for me that I can watch with a VPN, bring it on.
Yeah. And so it's amazing how many news sites are just blocked. You have to use a VPN to even get access to certain information, whether it's in Serbia, Bosnia, Russia, you need information out of China. Like, oh my God, you have to dig through all of this stuff. You need a VPN. We couldn't do our jobs without it. So,
yes.
All right.
All right. A new report from Greenpeace says that plastic recycling is not happening and that plastic waste will triple by the year 2060. Now, this is the kind of thing the mainstream media wants you to feel a lot of anxiety and guilt about and lecture your friends about single-use plastic. I would have willingly jumped right in 2 feet into this anxiety until recently, until we started to talk to climate researchers. So let's break down the numbers and see if it's merited to actually feel this way. Here's a Greenpeace report that I'm telling you about. Again, I know we harp a lot on just not being innumerate, because if you are innumerate, that means you can't speak math. You read big numbers And you freak out because there's no context and the media interprets it for you. So let's interpret ourselves. Greenpeace says that because more plastic than ever will be produced and not recycled, more of it will end up in the ocean. But is that true? Greenpeace says that waste in the U.S., plastic waste, hit 44 million tons in 2019. And so you probably are thinking, is that a lot? It sounds like a lot. Well, kind of. There are about 450 million tons of plastic produced on this planet every year. This is according to Oxford Our World data. Take a look at this chart. So it is expected that we are already above this 400 million tons, closer to 500 million tons by this point of plastic produced. So if this is true, the U.S. is only responsible for 10% of that plastic waste globally, because we just gave you the number of 44 million tons of plastic waste in the United States. And in fact, this data holds up. This map shows that the poorest countries are more responsible for plastic waste than the more wealthy countries, largely because we ship it to them. We don't know what to do with it. So here, you can take that. In fact, U.S. consumers, though, are sold a bill of goods about recycling. Many countries do the same. They just put out recycle bins for items that will never get recycled. Germany says, yeah, we mostly recycle, but about 5% of plastic trash is recycled. Only 5% because of the type of plastic that it is and the facility.
So you feel good about yourself dropping this stuff in these boxes. You're like, I'm making a difference.
Yeah.
And then you're not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like it becomes something that you do because you hope. I do it. I absolutely do it out of hope. Tonight I was putting Eve to bed and she was eating these little seaweed packages that have a little plastic carrier. And I was like, I don't know, but I just can't put it in the trash. So I walked it down to the recycling.
Even though you were like so brain, trained on this crap.
There was a little documentary they did here in the Pacific Northwest, and they followed like several pieces of trash through the whole process, like from recycle bin to recycling. And they found that only about 3% made it to recycling.
Wow. Yeah.
And a lot of it is to do with because people don't take the time to clear things out and do it the right way. We use a company here called Ridwell. We have a little box on our porch and they come, like they send you a bag once a month of like, okay, these are for any extra batteries you might have. And you give those and then you put some clothes in and they'll donate it to charity. And then they come and they actually do recycle everything. Now it's a monthly fee, but we know that the stuff that we're putting in there is actually getting recycled and going to, you know, benefit someone.
But do you? Like, that's the question. They tell you they are.
Yeah.
And they're charging you
a
fee.
Well, that is true.
I would love to see someone actually follow and track what that company actually does. You know, they say they do. Yeah.
Well, I want to go ahead.
We have that. Well, also in the Pacific Northwest, sorry, like, because it's applicable to what David was saying. But so we had a longstanding contract in the Pacific Northwest that our recycling was sent to China. But because we weren't separating it out and actually, like, you know, separating metal from plastics and stuff like that, they canceled that contract, like, I want to say like 8 years ago. I mean, I might be like not remembering the exact timeline.
It was,
but it's been a while that we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we continue to recycle in the, if I'm jumping the gun on your story, I apologize.
No,
but like,
okay.
We continue to recycle here and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not being recycled, but we dutifully put it in the bins.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So then let's talk about what actually does happen to it. Because if we know that China won't accept it any longer, and we know that only 3 to 5% is recycled, what happens to the other 95%? Does it go into the ocean? That's what they want us to think. But research shows it actually doesn't. Between 2007 and 2013, scientists conducted a study where they took boats around 680 times to major oceans. And what they found was shocking and not in a way you would think. Take a look. Excuse me. I just had the, I just drank fizzy water and it's.
All right.
Sorry. I thought I had the
fizzy lifting drink. Are you gonna start floating to the ceiling?
I'm doing AOC's cute little like bubbly water thing. Shh. Okay. So what researchers found was that, based on Plastic Europe's estimation that 88 million tons of plastic were produced worldwide in 2012, our estimate of the global weight of plastic pollution on the sea surface from all size classes combined is only 0.1% of the world annual production. So that's not anything close to 95%. That's less than 1%. How can that be? Where does the rest go? If, again, we're trying to account for 100%. We have 3 to 5 that's recycled and 0.01 that's in the ocean. Okay, what then? What about the microplastics? Well, in fact, the study showed that they found 100 times less microplastics than they expected, even though if you look at this Oxford chart, they will tell you that the amount of microplastics will go up by 2050. Up, basically.
We hear this all the time. Oh my God, all the microplastics in the water. I see people in our chat sometimes saying, yeah, but what about all the microplastics? And they've been telling us microplastics, yes. And to be honest with you, I walk on the beach a lot because I live near the beach. And I see, like, after a big storm, I see, like, little bottle caps and I see little pieces of plastic on the beach. And I think, oh, this must just be filled with plastic then.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Well, the interesting thing is that we expected to find it. And yes, that plastic there, you know, sure, it exists. But where does the rest of it go? Why is there fewer microplastics than were anticipated? Well, it turns out that the larger plastics get broken down into smaller particles, and then they are digested by sea life and they sink in fecal pellets. Of course, that's not good news for animals by any stretch, but a lot of it can also dissolve in the sun before it even ever gets to animals. In fact, in 2019, researchers found that they could simulate plastics being broken down into carbon dioxide and dissolved as organic carbon. Why does this matter? Because if we were told that, then we could collectively invest in better plastics that could break down even easier, instead of being told, oh, we're all pigs and we're littering the earth and we're wasteful parasites.
Right.
In fact, you can use certain additives to shape this kind of plastic in order to get it to dissolve faster if you want to. This technology exists, which would basically make plastic biodegradable, but we don't talk about it. We're just told we need to then give up plastic straws, plastic bags. So then again, the question remains, if even less plastic is in the ocean than we thought, 5% gets recycled, where is the other 94.9%? In this case, Greenpeace does seem to be right. Countries are just kicking around the ball since China stopped accepting plastics from the United States and other developed countries in 2017. China has recycling facilities. The U.S. doesn't. And so the United States is not about to build more. That's something that takes gas to right. do. So if you look at this Oxford data, it just looks like a lot of it will just be discarded or incinerated. Now, Greenpeace says in order to save the planet, we should recycle 30% of trash. And basically, we're never going to get there. It's not possible because of the type of plastic that we throw away. David's right. We don't clean it out when we recycle it. It's just not possible. So obviously this doesn't mean, oh, okay, well then the sun will take care of it. Just throw it into the sea, because we haven't invested in that type of plastic. If we were told that that was an option, we might. But you know, should we think about maybe, investing in other types of technology? Absolutely. In fact, because when California stopped using plastic bags, and those were banned, there were some that said, this is the study that I was telling you about. This is a study I want to tell you about in California. When more paper bags were used, and this study shows that when California banned plastic bags, this study showed that more paper bags were used, and that led to an increase in carbon emissions due to the greater amount of energy needed to produce all the paper and the cardboard because they took out plastic. This is a 2019 study. Now, obviously, I am not in defense of plastics right now. I don't even want to touch in this segment on the effects on the human body, because there are some that say that you can find microplastics in the fetus of pregnant women. We can look into that another time. But we also just shouldn't take these studies by Greenpeace and give politicians more power to do backwards policies that will have the reverse effect of what we want, such as the one we saw in California. Because what that does is give politicians more power and then creates more anxiety. And then we get more of this, more climate vandalism. This time these jerks who threw mashed potatoes on a Monet.
Hello.
And then glued themselves to the same deal. It's a different organization. And I have no doubt that they meant it. They felt like they were gonna actually do something good. I mean, it is what it is.
Somebody should show them how to make potatoes, because that doesn't look like any potatoes I would consume.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, those are pretty runny. It's like,
yeah.
I think you're getting an echo on your computer.
No, I think it's
that was me. Sorry.
Oh. Yeah.
But it also speaks to like this idea that we read about, like Alex Epstein and his books and others about the climate, which is humans evolve and come up with technologies to help us get through these times, right? These climate problems that we have, or if we have more hurricanes, guess what? We build houses that help us survive. So we've seen poverty decline tremendously. Fewer people are dying from climate related disasters because technology. It's like, okay, so maybe we have the technology to figure out what are better plastics that would biodegrade.
Yeah.
So we don't have to have all of this lecturing by people about plastic bags and bottles. And I was reminded of George Carlin's famous stand-up routine. It was an HBO special or something where he said, you know, he talks about this, you know, the planet's been around for 14 billion years. It's had, you know, dinosaurs and asteroids and volcanoes and, you know, all sorts of problems. And he goes, and we're worried about a few plastic bags.
Right.
Like a few plastic bags are going to be the thing that stops this earth.
And I have consumed myself with avoiding plastics. Clayton knows.
Yes.
For 12 years of marriage and keeping it off of our kids and making sure we don't heat food in it. And, you know, if he puts plastic in the dishwasher, I freak out. And, you know, those are all things that I'm like, why am I doing that? Because someone told me this. And when you actually look into the idea that, oh, these plastics get into the ocean, and then the data shows that only 0.1% of annual production gets into the ocean. I don't need to feel so bad about myself and go, you know, think like, and then support these policies like, okay, yes, we all should be using paper straws now. When paper straws may
suck.
They do suck. And they have a higher carbon emission because they're harder to produce. And they also cause deforestation. You know, they're made of wood pulp.
Paper straws stink. You know, and it's like,
I ran into this a lot in 2000, the early 2000s. I was at Ball State and I was actually an environmental chemistry major. And so, like I had to take classes like environmental ethics and stuff. You know, it was very early 2000s, late 90s environmentalism. And it was all so focused on saving the planet. You know, you had to save the planet.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would argue even back then that like, it's okay for us to save ourselves on the planet, because the planet will keep spinning whether we're here or not.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really not all that important. Like it's fine. It's going to keep being a planet. I'd like to have one that I can continue to live on.
Right. You know?
Yeah. And so like, and living on it does also have some impact on the planet, because like we live here where there's a lot of us, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Kim Katora in the chat just says they don't like to mention that there are over 5 different organisms that break down plastic. Like they don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's exactly what is said here. And there has started to be some research about animal adaptability to this. And in his great book, Apocalypse Never, which I've been reading from Michael Schellenberger, he talks about how before a lot of the products that we use that are plastic came from turtle shells. Like we literally used to kill turtles, boil them alive, and take their shells and make the things that we have since replaced with plastics. So I'm more for that, for plastics than the turtle shells.
Yeah, more pro turtle than that.
So anyway, I think this is really interesting research. I will link you to it in the chat and let me know what you think.
All right, let's get to some super chats. Before we do that, I should mention we have a goal by the end of the year to hit 3,000 rebel VIPs in our locals community. We're almost there, I think, right around 2,500 right now. I think, right? I don't know the exact number of the update. David has that information. But how you can subscribe and support independent journalism is by going to redacted.inc. It's not .com. It's redacted.inc. And then you click on the little members, become a member, become a VIP member spot. Just click on that. Click join. It's right there on your screen. And then you enter your information. Yeah, click the one on the right. Become a member and join. Put in your email address. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can support what we do as independent journalists here on the channel. And again, our goal is to...
And I'm going over there to verify. We're at 71.93%. So we're at 2,158 members.
All right. So yes.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. So again, that's a small contribution if you'd like to support the free show that we put together for you here all the time. So we got to mention that. So thank you for all of your support on Rumble and on YouTube and everywhere else. All right, let's get to some super chats before we wrap things up on this Tuesday.
All right. First of all, Natalie, somebody paid $20 Canadian to say you have excellent posture.
Oh, thank you. That's because I'm short, and short people don't slouch. We know.
And that's
you
why
want every inch you can get.
Yeah.
Daniel says, "Man, Clayton, your sister is pretty." That's not my sister. That's my wife. Thank you.
No, I am his. Oh, I thought you. Not me.
And that's why I slouch, because I'm tall. I'm 6 feet two, so I tend to my rounded back.
This is
all
about
the time.
Me. This one.
So I slouch a little
well,
bit.
Let's just stick with that topic. Velcro Kitty. Natalie, that shirt is so awesome on you. Perfect shirt for October. Have you guys heard about the new types of blood they are finding in people?
No.
Yeah, reptilian blood.
Hmm.
Yes. No, it's...
Initial E.
Thank you for the compliment.
As of last year, we figured out a way to recycle plastic bottles into 3D printer filament. It just takes work, but it's a leap forward.
That's super cool.
Wow.
We have a lot of furniture, like patio furniture, that's recycled plastic too. I'm all about that.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't disappear. It's fantastic. We have a table that, in the sunlight, this thing that you think would be faded. No, it sits in the bright sun.
It's amazing.
And it hasn't faded one bit. We got it near our house in Holly, Pennsylvania. And it was made from recycled milk bottles.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Sailing Prepper Dark Secret said you can reverse engineer plastic back into fuel.
Can you?
Yeah, Doc Brown did it.
Hmm.
And Back to the Future. All right.
Derek Morris, new job incoming. Love you all. Keep it up.
Oh, Derek, that's awesome.
Congratulations.
Congrats on that. I know Derek was going through a difficult time there, so much
Go
love
get
to
him.
You. Much love to you, Derek. An awesome last name, Derek Morris.
And Rudolph Grass Pointer also said every kilogram of plastic can be converted to a liter of diesel.
Huh. I don't know about this technology. That's interesting.
Yeah. Frosty Young said they're at $9 a gallon in California for diesel.
That's crazy.
And you got to think, a lot of times the truckers' compensation, you know, they get paid a mileage, but the fuel cost is on them, correct?
Oh yes.
In most cases.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there is a great book called "The Secret Life of Groceries," where the reporter embeds in with a trucker, and when you look at the economics behind doing that, it's shocking, and so much of those expenses are on them, and they kill themselves for pennies.
Mm-hmm. Two more. Frosty Young, reports from many different industries show diesel will be at $13 a gallon by Christmas. As a truck driver, take special care on the road, and remember, we drive 11 hours a day to get stuff to your home.
Oh, yes, what I was just saying.
Yes, so thank you to all. I mean, we've been big champions of the truckers on this show. I mean, obviously covering what happened in the Canadian truckers. By the way, the verdict is in on that, and the Canadian government was forced to admit that it was a peaceful protest.
Mm.
You bastards. You lied, lied to everyone and called those truckers racist and everything else, right?
Extremists.
And they just wanted their livelihoods protected you lying sacks up there in Canada. We love
our
Canadian
friends.
I said
two more, but I'm going to read two more because this is kind of relevant. Mr. Black 331 says it's $700 to $800 to fill my company's diesel truck.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Could you imagine pulling up the guessing and walking away with $800 on there every time you filled up?
No.
And if you're 11
hours.
That's
got to be so demoralizing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Scott Ho, our final super chat for the day. Thank you, everyone involved in this great, smart, non-corrupted information, informative live podcast. I'm from Sydney, Australia.
Oh. Hello from down under. I think
thank
it's,
you, mate.
What time is it in? Let me ask Siri. Oh, my watch is going to sleep because it's so late. What time is it in Sydney, Australia?
It's 8:36 in Sydney, Australia.
In the morning?
Oh, 8:30 in the morning. Well, thank you so much for watching us there. Wherever you are, whether you're in Australia, you're in New Zealand, you're in Iceland, you're in Los Angeles, you're in Western Europe.
This brings up a good opportunity for us to let you know that here where we live in Europe, there will be a time change over the weekend. If the time does not change for you, then this show will alter until your time changes. So we are going to remain at, it's 9 p.m. Western European time, which will then be 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time just for a week until you all catch up with us. Maybe you live in a place that won't catch up. We're just letting you know. Check local times because we will still be here in our own time zone. Hopefully that doesn't convenience anybody. Still join us.
Yeah, so next week it'll be 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, but only for 1 week.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. All right.
You know, daylight savings time.
There's no S on daylight savings.
What happened
savings
to that bill? Did they not pass that bill that
no,
Rubio
never,
put forward
never,
to get
stalled
rid of that?
They never do. By the way, it infuriates me. There is no S on daylight. There's no S on daylight. It's daylight saving time.
Okay.
So drives me nuts when all of like local news stations put an S on it. So you're the smartest audience on YouTube and on Rumble. So if you see someone putting an S on daylight savings, just tell them Clayton sent you, that you're mad about it.
All right. We'll see you here tomorrow, everybody.
It's my little fight.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.